Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And we're going to get into that one here in just a few minutes as well. We have got some NFL notes, I guess. Pro days taking place around the country. We're going to get to some of the thoughts that I have on players that I think the Panthers may be interested in. Players I think could end up in the organization and in and around the NFC South. So I'm going to talk about that later on in the radio broadcast. We've got some NBA stuff as the playoff races are getting hot. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know who the official healthcare provider of the Charlotte Hornets is right now. I hope it's somebody I'm not financially connected with at this point. But my goodness, they're going to be a busy group of individuals. The Charlotte Hornets just cannot stay healthy. More injuries racking up yesterday as they are down in my town, the Big Easy of New Orleans, Louisiana. A triple-double recorded by Brandon Ingram was enough to get the Pellies past the buzz. And another major injury racked up for the Charlotte Hornets. We'll talk to you about that later on in the radio broadcast and a whole lot more. T2 is here on the board. What's up, buddy? How we doing?
Doing good. How are you guys today?
Oh, it's a day, man. It's a day and a busy one. Which, of course, you guys are not only welcomed, but highly and heavily encouraged to be a part of the show on a Friday. 844-326-3663. 844-326-3663. You can text us on the text line at 713-0771-307. I have just pushed the old button that gets the text line activated at 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N, and we will read them on the air. You can also tweet me at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show, if you want to go in that direction. Let's start with this sincere question for y'all. How much do you care about what's happening with Aaron Rodgers at this point? That's a genuine, bona fide, not meant to be a troll, sincere question. How much do you care about what is happening in the Aaron Rodgers discussion? A little, a lot, some, none. The Jets have signed former Kansas City Chief wide receiver Mecole Hardman. They have traded Elijah Moore, one of their current wide receivers, for a second round pick. So now the Jets have Mecole Hardman and Allen Lazard on opposite sides of the field and may still be interested in Odell Beckham Jr. Remember, OBJ was a guy that A-Rod of the football persuasion was trying to convince them to pick up and add to the mix had he, or if they wanted him, to have a landing spot in the Big Apple. Well, let's call it what it is. New Jersey. All right? They're in Jersey. Ugh. Anyway, the OBJ thing is a little bit less likely to happen now that they've got Harmon and Lazard. And now it's basically time to play the waiting game, right? The Jets want A-Rod of the football persuasion. I think at this point it is all but obvious that the Green Bay Packers wish to be done with Aaron Rodgers. They wish to move on from A-Rod of the football persuasion. So, the question now is going to be, why isn't this done? Will it get done? When will it get done? And what happens after that? What happens after that? What is next? We know that the dominoes have begun to fall in the hunt for quarterbacks around the league. We got the memo from the National Football League yesterday telling NFL teams that they are allowed to negotiate only and directly with Lamar Jackson. There were rumors kicking around the league that there were unconnected parties reaching out and talking to NFL teams, quote, end quote, on behalf of Lamar Jackson. The NFL sent out a memo saying, nope, you can talk to Lamar, nobody else. Lamar is not officially represented by an agent, which means he's the only one you can talk to. And the fact that there's just so damn much drama going on right now, so much drama going on around Lamar Jackson. I don't know, man. It's just like, I don't know if Lamar's hurting or helping himself as far as getting a job. But the point of all this is, to circle back to the beginning of this, Aaron Rodgers is the next domino to fall. We know where his likely landing spot is. We know the only landing spot it appears that he is going to be willing to go is the Big Apple. But if you're Green Bay and you're just tired of this dude, like the texter who just texted me at 71307 and said, fan, I'm, quote, tired of this dude, said, quote, wish he would just retire. If you're tired of this dude as the Green Bay Packer organization, then what, right? Then what? Do you just cut him? You know what? Don't worry about it. You don't want to be here. We don't want you here. Do you spitefully let him play one more season in Green Bay? I mean, I think the answer to that's going to be no, considering you just dropped Alan Lazard and sent him to the Jets. I don't know, man. Here's what I know. We are 3 weeks away from the NFL franchise's off-season programs getting started. The Jets' off-season program begins April 17th. They'll have about 2.5 weeks of conditioning, training, yada, 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 before practices begin in late May. So, the Jets and the Packers are trying to get something done here. The problem is, neither team has leverage over the other, but neither team wants to give in, right? And I'm to the point where, despite acknowledgement that Aaron Rodgers is still one of the best 5 quarterbacks in the National Football League, I'm just kind of tired of the situation, right? Like, why is it that in a week we've got 3 really good Sweet 16 games yesterday and then another one? A day-to-day where we've got 4 what I think could be very good Sweet 16 games. A week in which the World Baseball Classic comes to its conclusion. We got all this stuff going on, and I'm flipping channels here at the Palatial Fan Upstate Studios before I come on the air getting ready to do this show, and like every channel is Aaron Rodgers discussion. Why haven't the Jets made the move? Are the Packers getting scared of life without Rodgers? What about this? What about that? Should he? Shouldn't he? Should they? Should they not? I just wanted to get done. Not because Aaron Rodgers owes us hurry up, or the Jets or the Packers owe us to hurry up. They don't. It's a business transaction involving three different parties that all need to feel like they can walk around the table properly compensated. I'm just tired of it because it's the only damn thing anybody's talking about. When I turn on the TV in the AM, and it's frustrating as hell. Texas said, Rob, not a huge fan of Aaron Rodgers, but he's been one of the faces of the league for a while, so I want to see him play still, and it could be a cool story for the Jets. Yeah, it could. I mean, listen, I told you last year that the Jets, I truly believed, were a great quarterback away from being good. And you look down the stretch, they were pretty good until they weren't. At the very end of the season when they just completely fell apart, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to let them fall apart that way. But again, we'll see. Tom Brady wasn't going to for the Bucs either, and then last year they had to scrap to get over 500 and win the worst division in football, maybe football history, right? I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to let the Jets fall apart like that. I think quite the opposite. I think the Jets versus the Bills becomes maybe the most intriguing divisional rivalry in all of football if he's there. I'm just so tired of talking about it. I am. Like, go. There's so much happening in the NFL right now. Just go. Please. I'm begging you. Get it done. Not because you owe us anything. None of you do. Just so we can stop talking about it. Let's take a break. When we come back here in just a minute. Remember yesterday, we talked a little bit about the NCAA and how if the NIL legislation went through, that everybody was going to quit caring about college sports, because what it is about college sports that we all love is the amateurism. And that love is just going to, like a Taylor Swift song, fall apart. And then remember how that didn't happen? Well, the new president of the NCAA made some comments yesterday, and Chuck Barkley decided to respond. God, I love Chuck. And you'll find out why when we come back. My name is Rob Brown. T2's on the board, and you're listening to The Rob Brown Show. You are listening to The Fan Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. This is the Fan Upstate, ladies and gentlemen. T2, I'm going to go to some sound here, if you don't mind. Yesterday, Charlie Baker, who is the new president of the NCAA, took over from Mark Emmert, who stepped down a couple of weeks back officially. He was on, I don't remember, one of the sports talking shows with Greg Gumbel. And obviously they were talking about March Madness. They were talking about the issues facing the NCAA, and they were talking predominantly about NIL. This is going to be clip number two, please, Timmy. And Baker was talking about something that we have brought up on the show many times, and I don't think we're unique in that fact. I think everybody has been talking about this for some time. But the necessity for regulation of NIL across all schools in order to create a system that is equitable to the athletes, but also fair across the entire college sports landscape, so that there are not advantages to it for bigger schools or school, I shouldn't say bigger schools, for schools that are in states like the state of Florida that have basically knocked down all guardrails to the NIL. Now play what Charlie Baker said first, and then I'm going to play you what Charles Barkley said in response when he heard this audio for the first time here. And to those of you on the stream, we apologize. You're not going to be able to hear the audio here, but I'll summarize it for you when we get done with it. Here's what Charlie Baker said to Greg Gumbel yesterday.
Baker, who officially assumed his position earlier this month. Clark and I spoke with him earlier, asked about his number one priority moving forward.
Well, there is this basketball tournament that landed just about the same time I landed. I think the other thing I would speak to specifically is trying to create some what I would call consumer protections for families and student athletes around name, image, and likeness, which one of the ADs referred to as the only thing that's true about it at this point is everybody lies. So I would love to create some transparency and accountability around that so that families actually know what they're getting into. And I would really like to see some sort of uniform standard contract so that when somebody signs it, they know they're signing the same kind of agreement everybody else is signing.
And in that, along those lines, how do you anticipate that being done and accomplished going forward?
Well, there's a couple opportunities there. One is we're going to talk some with the folks in Washington about this, and there's a fair amount of appetite to try to deal with this. They've been hearing from a lot of the same people I've been hearing from. But I think it's incumbent on the NCAA to also develop a program that we believe we could implement if the feds can't actually put something together on their own. The only problem with it is if the feds do it, all 50 states comply. If we do it, we have to perhaps nudge some states and their collegiate programs into participating because they may have state laws that don't require that they play.
So Charlie says, look, my plan is to go talk to the folks in the feds, to go talk to the federal government and try to get them to kind of help us lay down some regulations. Now, there are some different realities to this, right? One of the realities is state by state, you're going to have different states if the states are the law of the land that are going to handle it in different ways. And we've seen that already, right? There are some states that have some pretty hefty regulations in place. There are other states like Florida that have said, screw that, let's go. Wide open, full throttle. And I think in those states, they're looking at it from the perspective of, look, if we open up NIL to where the athletes have few to no restrictions, our schools are going to do better, right? Like, our schools are going to do better if that is the case. And I find that interesting. I don't know if the feds, if the NCAA is going to have a choice but to go to the feds, because the other angle of this is if the NCAA itself tries to put regulations down, they're going to be challenged probably legally in different courts at different levels across the country, and that ain't going to be easy. Now, I love Chuck Barkley. Charles Barkley, this is going to be clip number 3, if you don't mind, Tim. Charles Barkley heard that audio for the first time yesterday evening at halftime of one of the games, and Charles Barkley had his own very interesting response. Here's what Chuck had to say.
Chuck, you're shaking your head.
Did he say we're going to ask the politicians to help us? See, that pisses me off already. Our politicians are awful people. As I talked to Clark earlier, because I asked him about y'all conversation, I would ask to go to people who actually care about basketball, not looking at it just themselves. I would put a committee together. I would love for Clark to be on the committee, get some coaches, get some players, and let's try to work this thing out. We can't ask these politicians nothing. Those people are awful people, Democrats and Republicans. They're all crooks.
They all crooks. Now, let me be abundantly clear here. I'm not disagreeing with Charles Barkley, okay? I'm not. Do I suspect, hope, but suspect that there are a couple of federal level politicians in D.C. that are there for the right reasons? Yes. I think there's a few. I think a lot of them we don't know, because I think the best way to get yourself on television and famous as a politician is to act up one direction or the other, right? I'd like to think there are a few good, honest people in Washington, D.C. representing us at the federal level. And frankly, in my, as you all know, relentlessly optimistic mind, believe that those people are the true guardrails for the federal government. Those people are the checks and balances. But maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Here's what I do know. When NIL became a serious conversation a couple of years ago, there were a lot of people, myself included, and this is not to pat myself on the back, but I will. There were a few of us that said, look, we're fine with NIL, right? In fact, not only was I fine with NIL, I'm in favor of NIL. I think it's fine. I don't think people should be prohibited from making a name, making an image, making a likeness, and getting paid for that. If you put in the work to create a name, an image, or a likeness that has so much recognition to it that somebody is willing to give you money in order to use it to promote themselves, good on you. Because in this ever-increasing age of influencers, it's not easy to do. The market's crowded with faces that are getting paid money. So to get into that, to break, trust me, as somebody who's trying, it's not easy. Like, at all. So, I got no problem with NIL, but I also said from the very beginning that you've got to start putting the guardrails down now. You've got to put the guardrails down before you enact this. Not because I'm a big fan of regulations. I'm really not. but because I am also a realist who understands that regulations can be necessary. Because without regulations, you end up with some people who take advantage of the system, some people who end up creating unfair working situations, and not that Ron DeSantis in Florida has done anything wrong here. Because to be clear, he has not. Ron DeSantis said, all right, the NCAA's got no regulations regarding NIL. So why the hell should Florida knock the guardrails down? Let's open it up and let's let Florida schools benefit from this. And they have. But in Ron DeSantis doing that, you have created a much more difficult situation for schools in, say, Iowa, where the guardrails are not only still up, but real thick too, right? They're going to bounce you back if you test them any. And that means that a team like the Iowa Hawkeyes, who is already at a disadvantage because they're, you know, the Iowa Hawkeyes, now have an even greater disadvantage to a team like, hell, UCF or USF, the Florida Gators, et cetera, et cetera. So while I, like 85% agree with Chuck Barkley, like I said, there's an optimistic part of me that hopes there's a few people in D.C. that aren't, what's the word I'm looking for here, terrible. At the same time, I also understand that unless the NCAA can come up with a system of guidelines, and to be honest with you, I don't know what those guidelines look like, right? The metaphor I use all the time is, I don't need to be a Michelin star chef to know my steak is burnt, right? Because what's the thing all the time? Don't complain unless you bring solutions to the table. No, I think that's a bad mindset. If something is wrong, you should complain about it. You don't need to know how to fix it to point out that what it is now is broken, right? I'm not a mechanic. But if I go outside and I start my car and it goes, gack, 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 I don't need to be able to tell you what's wrong to go, something's wrong. So I think the NCAA failing to, as I asked for them to do 2+ years ago when NIL was coming down the pipe, when I had first moved here, when I said I'm pro NIL, I absolutely want NIL to be a part of college sports. I got no problem with it at all. I think if you've got a quarterback who plays for a team, who generates success for the team, and packs 110,000 people into a stadium and allows that school and those conferences to sell millions of dollars worth of television rights, I got no problem if Bob's Used Cars hands him a check for $50,000 to show up at their dealership a couple of times. I got news for you. Rob Brown, let me pull back the curtain. Rob Brown gets money to go places, do things, and say stuff. It's part of the territory of doing a job where people show up to talk to you, listen to you, watch you, whatever the case might be. So no issues with that. But I also said at the time, whatever rules and regulations you want to put into place, you better do them now. You better agree to them now. Because if you don't have those written down in law and you just go, NIL's good, go to town, you're going to create a quagmire. And that's exactly what has happened here. Now, I will say one more thing. The second part of what Chuck Barkley said, I entirely and completely agree with him. Chuck said, instead of going to D.C., what I would rather see, what I would rather have, is a panel comprised of people who care about the sports. I would like to see college athletic directors, college head coaches, college presidents, TV executives, and players, athletes, the people who actually stand to benefit the most from this, right? I don't want a world where sitting at the table are a bunch of old guys who make millions of dollars a year legislating athletics, the ones whose pockets feel, whether they are or not is a different discussion, but feel as if it is their money that is being threatened, as if it is their money that is going to be taken away and given to these athletes with no representation from the athletes themselves. The athletes should be at the table too. It's a little more difficult at the college level than it is at the professional level. At the professional level, when you look at collective bargaining agreements, you've got players' unions, players' associations that are effectively elected to represent the entire pool of players. Little more difficult to organize at the collegiate level. But what you can do is get former players that are willing to come back and lobby on behalf of the players, right? Go get former stars. Maybe a few that were pre-NIL, maybe a few that are post-NIL to be the voices of the players. Get some active players. Grab a guy who is a next year Heisman Trophy early bet, right? Somebody that's got a lot of sway. Go grab a next year men's and women's Naismith Memorial Trophy College Basketball Player of the Year award contender. Go get a track and field superstar at a school like in Oregon, where those sports are big time. Go get a baseball star out of one of the teams that tries to go to Omaha and successfully goes to Omaha every year. Go get players from the highest levels of college athletics and bring them to the table too. Because while I agree with Chuck that the more we can leave the federal government out of this, the better. If you don't get something done, and you don't get something done with representatives of college sports from within college sports and get everybody on the same page within the college sports environment and effectively come up with what is a de facto collective bargaining agreement, you're not going to have a choice but to get DC involved. Every state's going to handle it a different way, and you're going to create situations where some states are going to benefit and some are not, or it's just going to take one or two more states to do what Florida did, open the table up, and then everybody's going to have to do it, and then there's no rules at all. There's no regulations at all. And maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. Again, I don't know what that looks like. But if you're going to do something as the NCAA, you should do it as the NCAA. You should have athletes at the table, athletic directors at the table, administrators at the table, TV execs at the table, and all of them should have a voice equal to everybody else's and try to get something done within, because the next step, if you can't get it done within, is to jump over the states. And what's the next step there? It is the feds. It is Washington, D.C. Hudson says, I'm totally for across-the-board regulation here. Give these schools an equal limit per year for athlete pay and say spend it how you want. That's the thing, Hudson. This money does not come from the schools. This isn't like, okay, every school gets $5 million a year distributed amongst your athletes. Remember, NIL comes from businesses that want to use athletes to promote their business. It's booster clubs. It's businesses. That's where that money comes from, right? So this isn't as easy as give every school $5 million a year out of the NCAA coffers and let them spend it how they want. And by the way, if that's the case, does Cal State Fullerton get the same amount as Cal? Does Florida Atlantic get the same amount as Florida State? That's not going to work. I get what you're saying, and I understand. But I've also heard the arguments about salary caps, right? There should be an NIL cap. Your school cannot have athletes making more than a collective X million dollars per year. Well, aren't you kind of limiting stuff there? Well, you go, wait a minute, Rob, the NFL has a salary cap, the NBA has a salary cap, right? But those salary caps are agreed to by the collective bargaining agreement. Those salary caps are agreed to by negotiations, labor negotiations from the players who are under that salary cap. So if you want to go with the cap, I'm good with that. But bring the players to the table and negotiate what a good cap looks like. So anyway, just some thoughts. Appreciate Chuck's input. There's mine. Let's take a break. When we come back, pitch clocks, larger bases, shorter games. Is it working? How are players reacting? I got audio from a Cardinals game yesterday that I want to play for you. I'll tell you what happened, and we'll see what your thoughts are. Texas says, go get Armando Bacot in his 12th year. He knows all the rules by now. Bacot's staying one more year while four other Tar Heels transfer out. That's interesting. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, I'm going to go to clip number four here, if you don't mind, T2. This was yesterday in a Cardinals game. Catcher Wilson Contreras at the dish. And I'm just going to play the audio for you, and then I'll explain what happened. But suffice to say, there were more questions raised about the execution of the pitch clock based on what happened to Contreras. I'm going to tell you what happened, then we'll get your thoughts. Here is the clip from yesterday's Cardinals game.
Chris has one of them. And quickly, it's 0-2. As we mentioned, we've got the Washington Nationals tomorrow. We'll see Jack Flaherty pitch again. Jack's had a nice spring. As Contreras was rung up on a pitch clock violation.
Contreras in the dish. He fouls off a pitch. Goes in the hole 0-2. Steps out of the box and adjust his batting gloves. That's pretty standard. It's been that way for a very long time. The pitch clock resets. The pitch clock starts counting down as soon as the ball gets back to the pitcher. Contreras steps out of the box. He adjusts the Velcro on both of his batting gloves. He steps back into the box. But as we told you a couple of days ago, he was not looking at the pitcher when that 8-second mark hits the clock. And if the batter is not looking at the pitcher when the 8-second mark happens on the clock, the umpire gets a little buzz to alert him, and you're rung up for a strike. Contreras, being in the hole 0-2 after that foul ball, was then struck out. Which means that Wilson Contreras ate the K without swinging the bat or without the pitcher earning a strike. Now, here's the problem I have with it. I still want ball players to be in control of what happens when it comes to BBs and Ks. I still want ball players to be out or not out based on what they do. I don't want a guy getting rung up for a K because he's not looking at the pitcher with 8 seconds left. And it seems like such an easy fix, right? Just take that one rule out. Just take that one rule out. When the batter steps out of the box, the umpire stops the pitch clock, but he starts a secondary clock on the batter. When you step out of the box, you have 8 seconds to step back into it. After a pitch, right? After a foul ball, after a K, if you step out of the box to reset, you have 5 or 6 or 8 or whatever number of seconds to get back in the box. Once you're back in the box, I don't care. You can look at the ground. You can hit your spikes with the bat. You can adjust your gloves, whatever you want. But once you're back in the box, the pitcher then can come set and deliver. And if you're not looking, when it's time for the pitcher to deliver the fastball, that's on you, right? You can pitcher sees you're not looking, throws it down the pipe, ring him up. He's done. Sit him down. It's such an easy fix that allows the players to still be in control of what happens. I don't need a guy in the regular season, especially one as important in the lineup as Contreras is. I don't need a guy getting sat down because of what direction his eyeballs are in. I want him sat down because the pitcher ran a fastball by him inside the K zone, or because he swung and he whiffed. No, those are the two outcomes. But once you step out, you got 6 seconds to adjust your gloves, knock the dirt off your spikes, and climb back into the box. And then once you're in the box, the pitch clock runs. And when the pitch clock runs, the pitcher can start his windup and pitch. And if you're not looking, because you're looking down at the dirt or you're looking up trying to get a signal from whatever, okay, you're done. You missed it. That's on you. That being said, Jason Stark went and pulled together the number of clock violations week by week through spring training in Major League Baseball. Back in the first week of spring ball, the first week that the new rules went into play, there were 2.03 pitch clock violations per game. By week two, that number fell by almost 25%, 1.49. By week three, that number fell about another 15%. There were 1.13 pitch clock violation per game. Now, in the fourth week of baseball, which ended on Sunday, and we'll see what the data from this week leading up to opening day looks like, but in the fourth week of spring training, there were 1.03 pitch clock violations per game. The players got used to it and cut the number of violations in half. And I think that is part of the evolution of it, right? This was something that players have not been used to, had to get used to, had to learn the intricacies, et cetera, et cetera. And now that they've had 4 weeks to get used to the new rules, they're getting better about them. And that's fine. But I still don't think that means that I want to set a situation where a player can be K'd because his eyeballs aren't on the pitcher. That's on him. That's part of your job as a baseball batter, is to understand where the pitcher is in his delivery, where the ball is in the process, et cetera, et cetera. I don't need all-star caliber players in a big moment being set down because their eyeballs weren't in the right place at a specific and arbitrary number on the clock. Once the batter's back in the box, after a predetermined number of seconds out of it, to get a signal from the third base coach or the dugout, to see where the runners are on the field, to see where the defenders are in the field, you're back in the box, now it's between you and the pitcher. And if you spend too much time looking down at your cleats or making sure your shirt's got no dirt on it or whatever you're doing, and he runs it by you, you're done. You're out, right? Let the players dictate the outcomes of the situation, not a clock. The clock can still be used. Baseball games are running at a faster pace than they've run since like the early 70s. I'm fine with the clock itself, but it should not dictate the outcome of an at-bat. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Got a few more things I want to get into in the next hour, including let's have the final debate. C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young. Who should Carolina take with the number one overall pick? I'll give you some final thoughts on that when we come back in the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.